Welcome, you guys. You guys stand up and sing with us, Silent Night.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, are you doing good today? Listen, last night I was sitting on the couch thinking about today's service. And a few things I wrote down that I felt the Lord wanted me to share with you today about praise. Do you know that praise and worship is a gift from God for us to be able to access His presence? Let me say that again. Praise and worship is a gift from God for you to be able to access the presence of God. Because the Bible says in Psalm 22 that God inhabits the praise of His people. And let me tell you, wherever God's presence is, when you get into God's presence, there's joy, there's freedom, there's healing, there's breakthroughs in the presence of God. Amen? Praise and worship is a powerful tool. If you look throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament, 2 Chronicles 20, Acts chapter 16, you see when they started to give God praise, God showed up and they experienced breakthroughs. They experienced victories. Praise is so powerful. God has designed praise to bring us victory and to bring us freedom. But let me tell you this, God has a design, God has designed a way to enter into His presence. The Bible says in Psalm 100, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, enter into His courts with praise. Now, in the Old Testament, when they came into the temple, they would come first of all through the gate into the outer court, and they would come in with thanksgiving. Then they would go into the holy place, and they would come in with praise. Then they would go into the most holy place where God's presence was. Now, this is how you enter into the presence of God. You start out with thanksgiving, and you start out with praise, and then you go into worship. I want to encourage you today as we sing. Let me tell you, praise and worship does more for you than it does for God. It does more for you than it does for Him. And I want to encourage you to participate, to enter in, to clap your hands, to lift your hands, to sing the song. The Bible says if we don't give God praise, the rocks are going to cry out. And I don't know about you, but I don't need a rock to praise God in my place. I'm going to give Him praise. Say, I will praise the Lord. Yes. Lift your hands like this. Say, I will praise the Lord. I will give Him praise. Now put your hands together. Clap your hands as we sing. I'm going to teach you how to praise God today. David said, I will praise the Lord. It doesn't matter how I feel. I tell myself, I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, I will clap my hands. I will sing. I will give God praise.
Here in the light we find what makes us come alive, a sacrifice of praise.
Yes, let's sing it out, church.
A city on a hill, surrendered to your will, your glory on display. Your glory on display. You are awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be praised. Come on. You will be praised. You love a force of grace, consuming every space. It's uncontainable. You're coming like a flood. Our hearts are filling up. All things are possible. Yeah. All things are possible. You are awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be praised. Will be praised. Your praise goes on and on forevermore. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're looking for. We lift the name of Jesus. Your praise goes on and on forevermore. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus. Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be praised. You will be praised. Your praise goes on and on forevermore.
Your praise goes on and on forevermore. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus. Stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him.
with one word. The world rearranges, the world rearranges by one line. His death was defeated, his death was defeated, and this one love, he has paid for all.
Him, amen. There's not, and you know, that's what he wants from us. He wants us to put him first above everything else. He wants to hear for the fruit of our lips, giving thanks, saying, Lord, you are the Most High God, the one true God. You're everything. You're Lord of all. Amen. When that comes from your heart, that's the praise that God wants. He wants to be recognized as Lord of all. Hallelujah. And we do that this morning. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us. Our family, welcome to Ascend Church. We're so glad you're here today. Such a presence of the Lord. Like Pastor Steve said, we have that privilege of entering. He set a pattern for us to enter his presence, and this is it. Amen. Won't you just take 60 seconds, find one of your gorgeous people around you. Good morning, good morning. How are you all? Everybody doing good? We're in the Christmas spirit, aren't we? We should be in that all year round. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad you've joined us today. It's a privilege to be in the house of God. Amen. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let me go to the house of God. I feel that way today. How about you? Praise God. Well, welcome to church. Want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having visitors in our church. And I don't know if you are here for the first time. We'd like to just welcome you. If you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? Anyone first time in our service? I don't see any hands. Well, bring your friends, bring your family, right? Praise God. Just to remind you of the purpose of our church. First of all, we want to help you to know God. Second of all, to find freedom. Thirdly, to discover your purpose. And fourth, for us to make a difference with our lives. Amen. Sounds good to you? And that's exactly what we want to do. And today we're gonna come to know God just that little bit better when we hear the word taught to us today and we sit in his presence, we mix with his family. So we're so glad you're in church. If you want to share, people watch on Facebook. We have all of you all here, all you all in church. But then we have a number of people that as we share on social media, there's twice as many people that watch on social media than that's just the day and age in which we live. So go ahead and share that. Maybe one of your family or friends who needs to hear the word of God today will hear that. So thank you. Thanks, Pastor Steve. Who was at the dinner on Wednesday nights? Was that good? Man, that was good. That was a small response for a good evening, right?
We had a great time on Wednesday at our Christmas dinner. Show some of those pictures we have.
Get out the way.
We had great fun at the Christmas dinner. We turned this place into a ballroom. We want to thank everybody who helped us with setup and everyone who brought food and everyone helped to put the chairs back. When I say everyone, there were four of us here. Thank you so much who helped us. We appreciate you coming and helping us.
Look at that.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. Let me tell you, if you missed the Christmas dinner, don't miss the next one.
No, it was beautiful.
Because we had a really great time, didn't we?
So much fun. Awesome.
All right, is that it? All right, well, good morning, everybody. I hope you're doing well today. I hope you're doing good. As you know, we have our nativity today. When you leave, as you go out today, there should be all the... We've got some animals out there, a cow and a donkey and sheep, and we got the nativity scene with the wise men and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph out there. We're celebrating Christmas, aren't we? I said we're celebrating Christmas, aren't we, all the way through December. Isn't that right? All the way through December. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. You are so good. And Father, I thank you today for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place today. We welcome you. Have your way. Touch every life. Touch every heart. In the name of Jesus, thank you for anointing your word, Lord. Thank you for giving us understanding and bringing revelation. Lord, I pray that your word will go deep into every heart and that we will not just be hearers of your word. But I pray, Lord, that every one of us in here, everyone listening to this, that we will be doers of your word. Because it is the doer of your word that is blessed in what he does. And we give you all the praise for everything said and done in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, this morning I want to speak about totally committed. The scripture says in Titus chapter 2 in verse 14, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people. Totally committed to good deeds. The Bible says that Jesus gave his life. How many of you know God is totally committed to us? He showed his commitment by giving his life for us. And God wants us to be totally committed to him, to our faith, to our church, to our family, to our friends, to our work, to winning souls, to serving in his kingdom. God wants us to be totally committed. The word committed means to be wholeheartedly dedicated and loyal to a person or to a cause or to an activity, to a job. To be totally committed means to be willing to give your time and give your energy to something that you believe in. When you're totally committed, you give your time, you give your energy, you give your resources to something that you really believe in. And I don't know about you, but I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Bible. I believe it's all true. And I'm totally committed to him. How about you? Are you totally committed to him? Because if you're not, I encourage you to get totally committed today. Some synonyms for the word committed, some other words, in other words, that you can use in place of the word committed is the word allegiance, dedication, devoted, attached, faithful, loyal, dependable, trustworthy, reliable. That's what it means to be committed. I'm devoted, I'm loyal, I'm faithful, I'm trustworthy, I'm sold out. Some antonyms for commitment, in other words, words that are opposite to commitment, is disloyalty, estrangement, separation, unfaithfulness, alienation. There's 13 things that I want to share with you this morning that I believe we should be totally committed to. I'm not saying these are the only things that we should be committed to, but these certainly are 13 things we need to be committed to. Starting with number one, we need to first of all be totally committed to the Lord. That's before everything else. The scripture says in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 61, may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees, to obey his commands as at this time. The Bible says, may you be totally committed to live by his decrees and his commands. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says that he pays special attention to his loyally committed ones. God pays special attention to those who are committed to him, totally committed to him. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, searching throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And if you read that in the Message Bible, it says God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who totally committed to him. God is looking for people who totally committed to him. God is searching for people who are totally committed to him. Are you one of those that God will find and say, that one is committed to me? God's searching for people who totally committed to him. People who put God first. People that want to pleasing him and following his will is their number one priority. How many of you know that Jesus is totally committed? Jesus prayed, Lord, not my will, Father, not my will, but let your will be done. And you know, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 37, he said, if you love your father or your mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you love your son or your daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. Let me tell you, following Jesus requires commitment. Getting a little quiet. Let me tell you, to be totally committed means nothing and nobody comes before the Lord. Nobody, the Lord is first in your life. The Bible says if you love your mother, father more than you love Jesus, you're not worthy of him. If you love your son or daughter more than you love Jesus, you're not worthy of him. I've had people tell me, well, I'd love to come to church, but my wife doesn't want to. I'd be in church every week if my husband would let me. Listen, Jesus comes before anybody. He comes before your husband. He comes before your wife. He comes before your children. He is number one. That's the truth, whether you believe it or not. Let me tell you the word Lord. I think the problem with a lot of people, they really don't know what it means to make Jesus Lord of their life. The word Lord, it means a master to whom service and obedience are due. Lord is a master or a ruler to whom service and obedience are due. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, he said, why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Why do you keep calling Jesus Lord, but you don't do anything that he says? The Passion Bible says, what good does it do for you to say that I'm your Lord and I'm your master if what I teach you is not put into practice? If you don't do what I teach you, then really, why are you calling me Lord? There's a lot of people call Jesus Lord, but in truth, he really isn't, because they don't do what he wants, they do what they want. In the early church, in the book of Acts, when large numbers of Gentiles started getting saved, the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas to them. And what was the message that Barnabas brought to these new believers? In Acts 11, verse 23, it says he encouraged all the people to remain solidly committed to the Lord. Barnabas encouraged them to remain committed to the Lord. I today am trying to encourage you to remain totally committed to the Lord. I'm encouraging you to be totally committed to the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, we see three things that the early church were committed to, and I believe we need to be committed to these things as well. In Acts 2, verse 41, it says, that day about 3,000 took him at his word. They were baptized and they were signed up. It says they committed themselves to what? To the teaching of the apostles, to the life together, to the common meal, and to prayers. What did they commit themselves to? The teaching of the apostles, that means the word of God. And then to life together, that means their church family. And then to prayer, they committed themselves to prayer, to the word, and to their church family. The second thing you want to be totally committed to is be totally committed to the word of God. Be totally committed. Let me tell you, when you're committed to the Lord, you are committed to doing what God's word says. When Jesus is Lord in your life, God's word is Lord in your life. When God is first in your life, his word is first in your life. When you come to that point where you say, Lord, whatever you say, that's what I believe, that's what I'm going to do, I'm going to put it into practice, your word is number one in my life, family, that's when God is number one in your life. In James chapter 1, and verse 25, it says, the person who continues to study God's perfect laws that make people free and who remain committed to them will be blessed. People like that don't merely listen and forget. They actually do what God's law says. Now, if you read that in the New King James, it says that it's not the hearer of the word that is blessed, but the doer of God's word that is blessed. And the Bible says that we ought to be committed to doing what God's word says. When we stay committed to doing what God's word says, the Bible says, then we're going to be blessed. The reason why some Christians are not blessed is very simple. They don't do what the word of God says. When you do what God's word says, when you put it into practice, it's going to produce results in your life. You're going to be blessed. The third thing we should be totally committed to is to pray. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, never stop praying. Pray without ceasing. And Jesus in Luke chapter 18, the Bible says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Family, we need to be committed to pray. Committed to pray. Are you committed to pray? Did you pray this week? Do you know that every Tuesday night we have a prayer meeting right here from 6 until 7 p.m.? Every Tuesday we come and we pray. You'd be shocked at how few people are committed to come and pray. I encourage you, come join us. Even if you can't come every Tuesday, come and join us on a Tuesday night and come and pray. Next year, we're going to start doing United Prayer on the first Wednesday night of every month. I've tried it on a Saturday, and that didn't work. I've tried it on a Friday, and that didn't work. And now I'm going to go to a Wednesday. The first Wednesday of every month, we're going to, as a church, we're going to come together and pray. The Lord has been really stirring me that I have to get you praying. You need to be praying as a church. You need to be committed to pray. Number four, be totally committed to your church family. The Bible says the early church, they were committed to the teaching of the apostles. That's the word of God. They were committed to prayer. And they were committed to doing life together. Amen. We must be committed to our church family. To doing the life together. Tell your neighbor, we're doing life together. How many of you know that the church is made up of people who are committed to Jesus and committed to one another? I said the church is made up of people who committed to Jesus and we're committed to one another. Tell your neighbor, I'm committed to you. Listen what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 in verse number 10. It says, take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others. It says, especially, say especially. Especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. Do you know the Bible says that we should be a blessing to everyone whenever we have an opportunity, but we should especially be a blessing to those in the family of faith. How can you do that if you're not part of a church? How can you be a blessing to people in the family of faith if you're not a part of a local church? We need to be planted and committed in God's house. Let me tell you, God brought you here, and I encourage you, don't let anything cause you to leave. The Bible says in Psalm 92, verse 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. The Bible talks about being planted in the house of the Lord. Now, when we moved into our house in Egret Landing in 2001, and I planted some palm trees in my yard because it was a new house. We didn't have any yard. They put in the lawn, and they put a few palms, a few little trees. But I planted a whole lot of palm trees like 20 years ago, almost 19 years ago. And let me tell you, those palm trees, they're still there. They're still planted. They've grown. Man, they're huge. How many of you know when you plant something, it doesn't move? It's planted. The Bible says we should be planted in the house of the Lord. Let me tell you, the enemy will do everything he can to try and get you to disconnect from God's house. But if God called you to this church and you leave where God put you, you'll never be satisfied at another church. I've seen it 1,000 times. I'm so sorry to say, I've seen so many people, they leave, I knew God put them there. Then they visit over here, and then the next thing they visit over another church, and then pretty soon they stop going to any church. You know why? Because they're not where they're supposed to be. That's why. Stay committed. Stay planted. Tell your neighbor, stay planted. I read that church attendance in the United States has declined 20% in the last 20 years. Between 1937 and 1976, church attendance in America was 70%. Between 1976 and 1999, it was 68%. And from 1999 to the present day, it's dropped to 48%. That's a lot. 20% in 20 years has dropped. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 25, let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do. Let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do. But encourage and warn one another, especially now that the day of his coming back is drawing near. The Bible says we must not neglect our church meetings, but we must come together and we must encourage and warn one another. Isn't that what it says? Let me tell you, the church is God's idea. It's not man's idea. This isn't my idea. I didn't come up with this idea. This is God's idea. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church. I will build my church. Whose church is it? This is not a trick question, family. Whose church is it? It's Jesus' church. It's God's church. The church is part of God's strategic plan for your spiritual growth and well-being. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. These are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. It says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. It says this will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring to the full and complete standard of Christ. Do you know that God has given me as a gift to you to help equip you, to help grow you, to help mature you? But I can't do that unless you're committed to the church, unless you're here every week. I can't help grow you and teach you and bring you to a place of maturity. That doesn't happen if you're not in a church. Jesus established the church. And He gave fivefold ministry gifts so we can grow and we can mature and we can be equipped. People who say they don't need a church, they are not rejecting man's idea. They're rejecting God's idea. We need to be committed to a local body of believers, a church. That's where you make godly relationships. That's where you can be a blessing. The Bible says be a blessing, especially to those of the family of faith. Well, when you're part of a local church, you have an opportunity to be a blessing to people. Amen. If we're not part, we can't do that if we're not part of a local body. Number five, be totally committed to serve in church. Don't just be committed to be a member of a church, but become involved and serve in the body of Christ. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45 that even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to the earth to serve and to give. And the Bible says we should have the same attitude. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and humbled Himself, became a servant. We're supposed to follow Jesus' example. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, God has given each of you a gift from His variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Say, God has given me gifts so that I can serve others in the body. Let me tell you, church is the place where we serve others. I want to encourage you to be committed to serve in church. I thank God for all our servant leaders who serve in this church. This year we had about 75 servant leaders who serve in this church, and we're so thankful for you. But I want to encourage you, if you're not serving, it's your responsibility to get involved and say, I want to serve. What can I do? And shout me down because I'm preaching good today. Number six, be totally committed to build God's church by bringing other people to church. In Mark chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus said, go home to your family and your friends and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful He's been to you. Jesus said we are to go to our friends and to our family and tell them what the Lord has done. Have you told anybody what God has done in your life? Have you told anybody how good God has been to you in your life? Jesus commanded us to go out and preach the gospel to everybody and make disciples, did He not? The Bible says in Luke 14, Jesus told this parable. He said a certain man gave a great supper and He invited many to His supper. And He sent His servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. And it says, but they all with one accord began to make excuses. I can't tell you how many excuses I hear all the time. All the time. All these pitiful excuses. The first said, I bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came, reported all these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. He said, the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, but there's still room. Then the master said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Let me tell you, God wants his house filled. God wants his house filled. He said, go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Go and preach the good news of the gospel. Tell your friends, your family what the Lord has done. I want to encourage you to be committed to bringing other people to church, to inviting other people to church. Like just now when my wife asked, we want to welcome any new visitors. I don't know if there were very, very few. Family, that should not be. There should be new people every week, because if every one of us go out of here and we invite people and we tell people, we're going to have new people come. Thank you for your enthusiasm. People tell me, they ask me, Pastor Steve, why isn't the church growing? Why aren't you bringing people is the question. That's the question you should be asking, not asking me. I'm the shepherd. Sheep make sheep. Sheep produce sheep. Amen, somebody. Let me tell you, God loves this world so much, he sent his son to die for us, and he wants to save them. And we are his hands, we are his feet, we are his voice. We need to be committed to reaching out and bringing and inviting others and telling them about the goodness of God. If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. Say, I'm going to do it. Say, I'm going to do it. Number 7, be totally committed to build God's church with your tithes and offerings. Malachi tells us to bring the tithe and offering into the house of God, so there will be provision, so there will be food, so there will be meat. Let me tell you, you are sitting here today, and you are sitting in this beautiful building with air conditioning, listening to me preach the word of God, because somebody was faithful to give and support the house of God. That's why you're sitting here listening to me today. Come on, put your hands together and clap for that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 13, it says, you will honor God through this genuine act of service because of your commitment to spread the good news of Christ and because of your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. The Bible says you honor God because of your commitment to share the good news and your commitment to give and support the house of God. Let me tell you, God wants us to be committed to support his house, to committed to give, committed to tithe in order to spread the gospel, in order to build his kingdom. I made a commitment that I would tithe. I would give 10% of everything I earn when I was 17 years old. It's been 38 years and I'm still committed to tithe. And let me tell you, it's the best investment that I ever made in my life. I've bought many things in my life. Some of them I regret. Some of them I'm like, what on earth was I thinking? That was a waste. Have you ever done that? I just take a look in my closet. Oh, my goodness. What was I thinking? I mean, what a waste of money, you know? I tell you one thing. I don't regret a single dime that I've invested in the kingdom of God, because I know that I'm laying up treasures in heaven. Do you know when you give to the work of God, you are laying treasures, storing treasures in heaven? That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6 verse 19. He said, don't hoard treasure down here on the earth where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars, by thieves. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. He said, it's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you most want to be and you end up being. Where your treasure is, it's where your heart is. I am telling you right now, I've laid up lots of treasure in heaven. God will bless you in this life on the earth. When you're a faithful tither and giver, God will bless you in this life on the earth. But I'll tell you something right now, it doesn't compare to the rewards in eternity. The rewards that we are going to receive in eternity for our giving on the earth doesn't even compare to anything that God has blessed you with on this earth. I'm staying committed to tithe. I'm staying committed to give. How about you? I'm committed to build God's kingdom with my tithe and my offerings. How about you? Number 8, be totally committed in your faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 6, verse 12, be like those who stay the course with committed faith and get everything promised to them. Let me tell you, if you want to get everything God has promised you, you've got to have a faith that is committed. There's no backing down. There's no turning back. Amen? Hebrews 10, verse 38 says, the just shall live by faith, but anyone who draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. God does not take pleasure in someone who draws back. In other words, starts believing God, but then gets discouraged and draws back. Stay committed to what you're believing for. God is not pleased if we draw back from our faith. Keep trusting him. Fight the fight of faith. Hold fast to the confession of your faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, 23, we must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith because the one who made the promise is faithful. Continue to hold firmly to your declaration of faith because the one who made the promise is faithful. We all have opportunities to give up on what we believe in God for, to walk away from an uncomfortable situation, slack off, not be our best. But let me tell you, if you're going to receive the promises that you are believing God for, you have to stay committed to your faith. You can't be moved by how things look, by how things seem. Don't give up on that child because they're not doing right now. Don't slack off at work because you're not being treated right. You got to have a made-up mind. I'm in it for the long haul. I am committed. It may be difficult. You may have a good reason to walk away, but don't take the easy way out. Be committed to your faith. Number 9, be committed to your spouse, to your family. The scripture says in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, a leader must be committed to his wife. And verse 8 says the same goes for those who want to be servants in the church. Verse 12 says servants in the church are to be committed to their spouses, attentive to their children, and diligent in looking after their own affairs. The Bible says we should be committed to our spouse, that we should be committed to our children, we should take care of them. The Bible says if a man does not provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. The Bible talks about being committed to our family, committed to our spouse, committed to our children, that they can count on you in the name of Jesus. Amen? Number 10, be committed to your friends. Do you know the Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And if you read that in the Living Bible, it says a true friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. A true friend is always loyal, is always committed. The Message Bible says friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble. And the Passion Bible says a dear friend will love you no matter what. Let me tell you, a true friend walks in when everybody else walks out. A true friend will be there for you, not just when you succeed, but when you fail. And I realize that there are times when a relationship comes to an end and you have to move on. But don't let that be the pattern of your life, where you bail out if someone's not meeting all your demands or living up to all your expectations. Let me tell you, people make mistakes. Good people can blow it. People that love you can let you down. God rewards people who are loyal and people who are consistent and people who will stick with someone even when they don't deserve it. You know, years ago, Jim Baker, who used to be the head of the PTL network, and he went to prison for not handling things properly. He admitted that he made mistakes. It was a big scandal over news all around the world. When he was about to be released from prison, Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, contacted him. And he said that the Grahams wanted to rent him a house and they wanted to buy him a car. And Jim Baker said, Franklin, you can't do that. I've got so much negative baggage. You don't want to be associated with me. You're going to be criticized. Franklin said, Jim, you were our friend before you went to prison and you will be our friend afterwards. The first Sunday that Jim Baker got out of prison, Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, called the halfway house where Jim was staying. And she asked the man in charge for permission for Jim to come to church with their family. And he approved. And when Jim arrived at the church, they took him down to the front row. They sat him right next to Franklin Graham. There were two empty seats next to him. He didn't know who they were for. But right before the service started, a side door opened. And Billy and Ruth Graham came walking out. And they came and sat right next to Jim Baker. Billy Graham was saying, by his actions, he was saying to his friend, I'm committed to you. You can count on me. I'm with you in the good times, and I'll be with you in the tough times as well. Let me tell you, you can tell who your friends are, not when everything's going great, not when you succeed, but when you fail. I'm asking you to be a loyal person, to stay committed to the people that God's put in your life. They are going to make mistakes. They're going to do things you don't understand. They don't need another judge condemning them. They don't need more guilt and shame. They've got enough of that. You can help love them back into wholeness. You can be the friend that walks in when everybody else walks out. When you're committed, when you're loyal, it doesn't mean you approve of their actions. You're simply showing them the mercy that you would want God to show you. You're being a healer. You're being a restorer. Can you say amen? Let me tell you, they've got enough people pushing them down. Let's be the people that lift them up. There's too many fair-weathered friends. They'll love you in the good times, and they walk away in the tough times. Let me tell you, our attitude should be, you can count on me. I'm committed to loving you. I'm committed to being good to you. I'm committed to defending you. Let me tell you, there are relationships in your life that would go to a whole new level if you would quit basing your commitment on somebody else's performance and let them know you're in it for the long haul through thick and thin, because that takes the pressure off. There's a freedom and a security when they know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are for them, that you are committed to them. Stay committed to your marriage. Stay committed to raising those children. Stay committed to your friends. They may make some mistakes, but give them some grace. Don't be a fair-weathered friend. Be committed in the good times and committed in the tough times as well. Amen. Stay committed to your dreams. Don't give up on those dreams God put in your heart. It may be taking longer than what you thought it would be, but thank God he's still on the throne and he is a faithful God and he's already set the time to bring that to pass. Amen. Stay committed to your church. Stay committed to your job. Be a loyal person, someone who can be counted on day in and day out. You're not always going to feel like it. There's going to be good days and then there's going to be tough days. There's going to be times when it's exciting and times when you feel like giving up. That's when you've got to be determined. And you've got to say, I'm going to do what's right when it's hard. I'm committed to this marriage. I'm going to love you even though you don't deserve it. I'm committed to this job. I'm going to be my best even though my supervisor is not treating me right. Family, I'm committed to my dreams. I'm not going to give up just because I don't see anything happening. I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on expecting. I'm going to keep on thanking God. I know that it's on the way in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, God rewards faithful, committed, consistent people. Too many people are wishy-washy. They'll love you as long as you perform perfectly, but if not, I'm out of there. They'll be their best if you keep them encouraged. They'll pursue a dream as long as they're getting good breaks. Too many people, their commitment is based upon things going their way. But when it gets difficult, when it's taking longer than what they thought it should, then they get discouraged and they want to slack off. Well, you know, Steve, I don't really like my job. They don't treat me right. That's why I show up late. That's why I play on the computer half the day. I don't really like my job. No, the Bible says we should be committed to our work. In Colossians 3, verse 23, work hard and cheerfully at all that you do, just as though you were working for the Lord and not merely for your masters. The Bible says, be committed to all you do as though you're working for the Lord, remembering it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is going to pay you back, giving you your full portion of all that he owes. He is the one you're really working for. The Bible says, really, you're working for the Lord. You're not working unto people. You're working unto God. He's the one who keeps the records, and he's the one who brings promotion and reward. The scripture says in Psalm 75, promotion and power come from nowhere on earth, but only from God. He promotes one, and he disposes another. He lifts up one, and he puts down another. God, promotion comes from God, family. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, they don't pay me enough. I'm undervalued. If they'd pay me more, then I'd do more. Listen, if you don't pass the test of being the best where you are right now, showing up with a good attitude, doing more than what you have to do, then the promotion won't come. They may not be paying you what you're worth, but your job is not your source. God is your source. He's the one who provides for you. Yes, God uses people and he uses jobs and he uses companies and he uses supervisors, but don't get them mixed up as your source. If you see your company as your provider or your boss as your source, then in a sense, you're making them your God. You're letting them control your destiny. You know, they determine how high you're going to go. If they don't like you for some reason, you know, too bad for you, you know, then you're limited. You've got to stop looking to people and start looking to God, because He's the one who controls your destiny. He controls the whole universe. He determines how high you're going to go. And there's no person, no supervisor, no company that can stand against God. He knows what's happening. He sees what is unfair. When you stay committed to your job, committed to your work, when you keep being your best day in and day out and you do it unto the Lord, despite who doesn't like you, let me tell you, God will make it up to you. God is your source. He has the final say. He can open a door that nobody can close. Well, Pastor Steve, it's difficult to be committed to my job and committed to my marriage and committed to my dream. Nothing seems to be going my way. If it was easy, everybody would do it. God chose you because He knew that you could handle it. You've got courage and you've got strength and you've got talent and you've got the anointing and you're not weak. You're not lacking. You're full of can-do power. You didn't come this far to stop now. Let me tell you, the people that see their dreams come to pass are the people who stay committed. I've heard it said before, on the road to your destiny, halfway through, every person will be tempted to give up. And some people turn around and they go back, and the others stay committed and they keep on moving forward. You know what's interesting to me is both people travel the same distance, because one goes halfway and then they go back where they started. The other goes halfway ahead and reach their goals. Committed people outlast the difficulty. Committed people stick with the relationship, even though they've got a right to walk away. Committed people go the extra mile. They do more than what they are required to do. Is there an area in your life you've been tempted to give up on? Or slack off, not be your best. God is saying to you today, be committed. Be totally committed. Be faithful. Stay loyal. Committed people reach the fullness of their destiny. Let me tell you, the dreams God put in your heart, the promise that you're standing on, maybe it's taking longer than what you thought it would. You don't see any sign of it happening. It is a test. Are you going to get discouraged? Are you going to give up on what you are believing God for? Or are you going to stay committed and keep doing the right thing, knowing God is in control, knowing that He sees my faithfulness, and knowing I'm going to come into my season of favor. My dream is right up in front of me. God blesses and promotes committed people. Number 12, be committed to the leaders and mentors God put in your life. Joshua was committed to Moses. Timothy was committed to Paul. Elisha was committed to Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 2, the prophet Elijah was about to be taken up in a whirlwind. He was going to be going up into heaven, and he had an assistant. His name was Elisha. And Elisha was like a son to Elijah. I mean, Elisha took care of Elijah, went with him everywhere, made sure he had everything that he needed and wanted. And in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 2, Elijah said to Elisha one day, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel. You stay here. The Lord told me to go to Bethel." Elisha knew that Elijah was going to be taken away. And Elisha could have thought to himself, you know, I think I'm just going to stay. I mean, after all, it's almost over. You know, this is the end of Elijah's life. But instead, look what he said. Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. I'll never leave you." So they went together to Bethel. It says a group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and they asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha said. "Be quiet about it." Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho." But again, Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went together to Jericho. And then a group of prophets from Jericho came to Elisha and they said, "Did you know the Lord is going to take away your master today?" "Of course I know," Elisha said. "Be quiet about it." It says, then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River." But again, Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together. You still here? Three times Elijah tried to get rid of Elisha. Three times he said, in effect, You've done enough, Elisha. You've served me well all these years. You've been faithful. You've been loyal. Take some time off. Go relax. Elisha wouldn't hear of it. His attitude was, Elijah, I'm committed to you. I'll never leave you. I'm going to stick with you. I'll stick with you through thick and thin. I was with you in the good times when you were performing miracles, and I'm going to be with you in the tough times as you come to the end of your life. You know, nobody would have faulted Elisha if he walked away because his boss told him to. I mean, he had a good reason. My boss told me to. He said, stay here. But he refused to slack off. He wouldn't take the easy way out. He was totally committed, totally loyal, somebody that you could count on. And it says in verse 8, Elijah folded his cloak together and he struck the water with it. The water divided and the two of them went across on dry ground. The Jordan River parted. And when they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken away? And Elisha replied, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit, a double portion of your spirit. I want to be your successor. I want a double portion of your spirit. And it says, Elijah said, you've asked the difficult thing. If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. And as they were walking along, talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. And it drove between the two men, separating them. And Elijah was carried away in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha cried out. He saw it. He cried out. He said, my father, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel. And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. And Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken away. And Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. And he struck the water with Elijah's cloak. And he cried out, where is the God of Elijah? And the river divided. And Elisha walked across. Do you know that Elisha performed twice as many miracles in his life as Elijah did? Do you know Elisha would have never seen the double portion if he had not stayed committed to Elijah, his mentor? Do you know that if Elisha had left the first time that Elijah told him to stay, or the second time, or the third time, he would not have received the double portion? Let me tell you, listen to me. There's going to be plenty of times when you're tempted to walk away from a dream. Oh, it's been too long. I don't think it's ever going to happen. Or walk away from a marriage, or walk away from a church, or walk away from a job. Well, they don't appreciate me. You know, they never say thank you to me. You could slack off. You could take the easy way out. But here's what you can't see. There's a double portion right up ahead of you. When you stay committed, when it's hard, when you do the right thing, when the wrong thing is happening, when you stay loyal, consistent, faithful, a double portion is coming. Double favor, double honor, double resources. God will reward you for staying committed. Amen. This double portion is not for everybody. It's not common. It's not ordinary. It's for people who do more than what they have to do. It's for people who stay committed. It's for people who go the extra mile. It's for people who don't quit. It's for people who are totally committed. Can you say amen? I imagine after Elijah told Elisha to leave for the third time and he wouldn't do it, Elijah must have thought, man, this is one stubborn boy. He will not change his mind. He's determined. He's going to take care of me. That's how you have to be if you're going to see God's best in your life. There has to be a stubbornness. I am totally committed to the Lord. I will never turn from Him. No, I don't know about you, but for me, there's no going back. There's no turning back. There's no going. I'm not going back. I'm going forward. I'm committed to the Lord. I'm committed to His Word. I'm committed to the church of God. I'm committed to this marriage. And leaving is not an option. I'm committed to my children. No matter what they do or don't do, I'm going to be there for them. Amen. I'm committed to my church. God's planted me here. Nothing's going to get me to leave. I'm committed to give and build God's house. I'm committed to serving God's house. I'm committed to my connect group. I'm committed to being my best at my job. Let me tell you, don't let people talk you out of it. Don't slack off because it's not fair. When you stay committed, God will make things happen that you could never make happen by yourself. Suddenly things will turn around. Suddenly your marriage will improve. Suddenly your business will take off. Many of you, you've passed this test. You've been committed. You've been doing the right thing. I want you to stay encouraged today because you are close to the double portion. You're close to that breakthrough. You're close to meeting the right person. You're close to that new level in your life. Amen. Let me tell you, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was so distressed. The Bible says he sweat great drops of blood. On his way to Calvary, he was beaten. He was bruised. He fell down under the weight of the cross. He could have said, God, this is too much. I did the right thing, but these people treated me so badly. They mocked me. They ridiculed me. They sent me to the cross. I'm done, Lord. I tell you what, I've had enough. But Jesus, aren't you glad he was totally committed? He was committed when it wasn't fair. He was committed when he had the right to give up. Nobody would have faulted him if he'd walked away, but he was in it for the long haul. Jesus was stubborn about fulfilling his purpose that he came to the earth for. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Let me tell you, you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, despising, disregarding the shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. It says, think of all the hostility that he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary. And you won't give up. When you think about everything that Jesus went through for you, it will encourage you not to give up. Keep looking to him and not to quit, but to be committed. We are the people who will be like Jesus and be totally committed. People who do not give up because it's not fair. People who do not slack off because it's taking longer than what you thought. People who have a made up mind in the name of Jesus. I'm committed. Amen. Amen. And the last one. I want to just say this about being committed to your mentor. You know, when I was 16 years old, my mother took me to Christian Family Church, Johannesburg, nag me, wore me down. And eventually I just said, okay, I'm going to come. And first time I met Pastor Theo, I was 15, he was 31. He said, Steve, God's got a plan for your life. God's got a destiny. I didn't know at the time that the Lord spoke to him and told him that I was called to preach. And the Lord spoke to Pastor Theo and said, I want you to mentor this young man. You know, that's almost 40 years ago. I'm still committed. Pastor Theo is still my pastor, and he's still my mentor. Have we had some differences? Oh, yeah. Have we disagreed? Yeah. I have a pretty strong opinion, if you haven't noticed. I can be a little outspoken. First time my wife came and became part of our family, we were dating. We weren't married, we were dating. And she couldn't believe how my family, we were so direct, you know. Her family, they kind of beat around the bush and went around the mulberry bush a couple of times. You never knew. You never doubted what we were thinking. And so, have Pastor Theo and I ever had differences? Yeah. But I am committed to him. I love him. I submit to him 40 years later. Now, let me tell you, if you're going to stay committed to the leaders God put in your life, it takes some commitment. That's why so many people don't do it. That's why so many people, because Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Sometimes it's doing things you don't really want to do. You know what leadership is? Leadership is doing what you don't want to do when you don't feel like doing it anyway. That's what leadership is. 13, I'll close with this. Be committed to your dreams. The Bible says in Proverbs 21, verse 21, the lovers of God. How many lovers of God do I have out here today? Wave your hand if you're a lover of God. The lovers of God who chase after righteousness will find all their dreams come true. An abundant life drenched with favor and a fountain that overflows with satisfaction. Let me tell you, the lovers of God who are totally committed and faithful, you will find your dreams come true. Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, when hope's dreams seem to drag on and on, the delay can be depressing. But when at last your dream comes true, life's sweetness will satisfy your soul. Let me tell you, in 1960, a young man opened a pizza parlor in Michigan. He was an orphan. He was raised in a Catholic orphanage. He borrowed $900 and he started a small pizza place. He had all kinds of bad breaks come against him. He had a business partner who cleared out his business account, stole his life savings, thousands of dollars. Not only that, but in 1968, a fire burned his pizza parlor down. Insurance company only paid him out a penny on the dollar. He could have gotten discouraged. I mean, he could have thought this is just not meant to be. But this young man was totally committed to that dream God put in his heart. And he had a very unique idea. Instead of people coming to get their pizza, he decided to take the pizza to the people. He came up with the first delivery service. Does anyone know who it is? Domino's. The first home delivery was Domino's. He started with one restaurant and $900. Today, there are over 6,000 Domino's. A few years ago, Tom Montaghan sold his company for $1 billion. What am I saying? When you stay committed, God will open doors that you could never open. God will bring you into your double portion. You might have a lot of reasons to give up on your dream. Maybe you've had disappointments. Maybe you've had setbacks. Tom, you had any setbacks? Had any disappointments? Welcome to the club. It's part of the process. When you get knocked down, you got to get back up again. Don't let your failures convince you to give up. Don't let delays and detours get you discouraged. Don't let people talk you out of the dream God put in your heart. A man by the name of Theodore Seuss Gissel, his first book was rejected by 27 different publishers. 27 experts told him that it wasn't a good idea. You would think that he would get the message, but like Elisha, he was committed. The 28th publisher agreed to publish his book, and his first book sold 6 million copies. Today, his 44 books have sold 600 million copies. That's the Dr. Seuss series of books. R.H. Macy failed in retail 7 times before he saw success. Henry Ford went bankrupt 5 times. These people were successful because they were committed, family. People may have told you no, but when God says yes, his yes cancels out their no. His yes overrules what people would say to you. Can you say amen? Listen, stay committed to your dream. Do the right thing when it's hard. When you've got permission to give up, well, you know, they told me no. You have permission to walk out of a relationship. Elijah said, I can go. Be an Elisha. Stay committed. Stay loyal. Stay faithful. Amen. In relationships with your spouse or your kids or your friends, there may be times that you got a good reason to walk away. They did things to hurt you. They let you down. They didn't perform perfectly. You could justify walking away. Nobody would fault you. But when you're committed, you show mercy. You give another chance. You make allowances for mistakes. They may not deserve it. They were guilty. Only the guilty people need mercy, family. When I was 16 years old, I committed my life to Jesus. It's almost 40 years later, I can say that I've stayed committed to the Lord. Have I been perfect? No. Have I made mistakes? Yes. What did I do? I asked God to forgive me, and I got back up, and I kept on following Jesus. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 16, the Bible says the godly may trip 7 times, but they will get up again. The godly may trip 7 times. They may fall 7 times, but they get up again. If you fall, repent, ask God to forgive you, get back up. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 13, he who endures to the end shall be saved. The Message Bible says it like this. Staying with it, that's what God requires. Stay with it till the end. You won't be sorry and you'll be saved. I've seen many people commit to follow Jesus. Unfortunately, they didn't all stay committed. They got offended. They got disappointed. They got distracted. I believe if we want to make it to heaven, we must stay committed to following Jesus. Got to stay committed to following Jesus. Because somebody said a prayer when they were 15 years old, Jesus, I make you Lord, and then they never ever follow the Lord. Let me tell you right now, that's not what it means to be committed to Jesus. When I was 18 years old, I got married to my wife, Jill. I committed to my wife. we had any opportunities to quit since we were 18? Any opportunities? Maybe one or two? But listen, our commitment is to God and to His Word. If it wasn't for our commitment to God and His Word, I don't think we'd still be married today. But you see, when you're committed to God and you're committed to His Word, it helps you stay committed to the people in your life. When I was 20 years old, I committed to answer God's call to ministry. It's 35 years later, and I can say I'm still committed. In 1999, we left a church in Cape Town with 2,500 people, with 120 small groups and 20 staff members to come and start this church. I am committed to this church. Have I been tempted to quit at times? I have. But I won't. You know why? Because I believe God called me. I believe this is my destiny. I believe that I'm right in the middle of the will of God. I believe God has a great destiny for our church. And I'm committed to this church no matter what. We've gone through challenges. We've gone through some disappointments. But I am still totally committed. And I'm asking you today to stay committed. Those areas you're tempted to give up and slack off and not be your best, God is saying to you today, stay committed. Keep doing the right thing. You can't see it, but right up in front of you, there's a double portion. And it may be difficult, but you are well able. Make up your mind. You're in it for the long haul. Be stubborn when it comes to not giving up. Because if you'll do it, I believe you're going to see, like Elisha, you're going to see double favor. You're going to see double honor. You're going to see double resources. God's going to open doors for you that nobody can shut in the name of Jesus. Do you receive it today? Do you believe this today? Give the Lord a praise. Put your hands together like this and give God praise today. Say, I'm totally committed. Say, I'm totally committed to the Lord, to His Word, to prayer, to my church family, to my work, to my faith, to my family, to my friends, to my dreams. In the name of Jesus, I am committed. Say, I'm committed to you, Pastor Steve. And I'm committed to you as well. We are in this together, family. Amen. 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 One more time. Tell your neighbor next to you, you're looking at someone who's totally committed. I am totally committed. Tell them I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you. But we're committed to one another, family. Amen? Amen. If you need me, I'm there. Amen. Why don't you bow your head for a moment? I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for every person here this morning. And I thank you, Lord, that as you are committed to us, I thank you, Lord, that we are committed, totally committed to you. I thank you, Lord, for stirring us towards a greater commitment. Thank you for speaking to us today, Lord. And Lord, we receive your word. And we'll not just be hearers of your word, we will be doers of it. In the name of Jesus. Lord, your word says that your eyes are searching across the earth. You're looking for those who are totally committed. Those are the ones that you bless abundantly. While your eyes are closed, while you have your head bowed, I just want to pray right now. We always give an opportunity for people who may be here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is well, if all is right between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Can you say that you know without any doubt? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, are you sure, are you certain that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be sure about that. You can walk out of here this morning. And you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every sin you've ever committed in your life, it's forgiven and it's washed away. And you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you are sitting, while we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, please pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're about to pray, because I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make sure that all is right and all is well between me and the Lord. Please pray for me. If that's you, I ask you quickly right now, if you want to be included in this prayer, just slip your hand up. Just lift your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. Just lift that hand up. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. I see some hands raised. I want to ask you, if you raised your hand, please say this prayer with me. Everybody, everyone say this prayer. Say, thank you, Lord. Everyone say, I thank you, Lord, that you love me so much. You sent Jesus to come to this earth for me, to take my sin and to take my punishment, to die in my place. Lord, your word says, if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. I do this today. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I surrender my life to you. I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. And I thank you. Say, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. And I'm your very own child. Heaven is now my home. Say, my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everyone said amen. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. I want to encourage you as Pastor Jill comes up this morning. I hope when you came in today, did the ushers give each one of you one of the invitation cards with all the different things happening over our Christmas period? I want to ask you to take that card just like that and invite someone next Sunday. We have our Happy Birthday Jesus Christmas party for the kids, and every child is going to get a gift. They're going to have a lot of fun. Invite children. Bring kids next Sunday. And then please invite people to our Christmas Eve service on Tuesday, December 24th from 6 until 7 p.m. We're having carols by candlelight, just a one-hour service. Please be inviting people. How many of you like to see this place filled on Christmas Eve? Well, there's one way to do that. You're going to let people know. You're going to let people know. You're going to tell. Simply invite as many people as you can to Christmas Eve. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. How many people committed to give? Let me see if you're committed to give. Let me hear you today. How many committed givers? How many committed tithers? Amen. How many are committed to that?
Thank you, Lord. I like that. You know, I always just ask the Lord for a scripture, because as we prepare to give, there are envelopes on your seat. There's a green one and a red one. But I always like to just share a scripture with you, because we give in response to the word of God. We're not giving to men, we're giving to God. Amen. And sometimes in church, people are nervous about the subject of money. It's just like they say, don't bring up religion at Thanksgiving, you know, or the president, or, you know, politics, anything. They say, don't talk about money in church. But Jesus was okay with talking about money. And Pastor Steve, read a scripture that I was going to read for the offering. So I'm just going to read it to you. Just two verses to encourage you. Jesus said this. He said, don't keep hoarding for yourself earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material wealth eventually rusts, decays, loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourselves that cannot be stolen and will never rust, decay, or lose their value. Amen. And you know, so much of our lives is spent accumulating things. Isn't it true? I mean, needed things and unnecessary things, and God has no problem with us having things. He has no problem with it. You just read the Bible. It says, you know, how God has blessed talking about Abraham, God blessed him with donkeys and servants and silver and gold. God has no problem with people having things. He has a problem with things having us, right? And so what's the point of what Jesus was saying? Simply said, he says, we need to remember that everything we see is fading away. It's all going to rot. right? Rust and decay. The car you're dreaming of, that your dream car that you save towards, you know, before your lifetime's over, that's going to be on a junk pile. You know that, right? The beautiful car that you're looking for. And so everything is fading away. And Jesus is just reminding us, when it comes to money, to turn our eyes towards eternal things. Turn our eyes towards eternal things. What are we doing for the kingdom of God? I love what you said about being committed, because it's committed in so many ways. And everything we do for God carries reward, including giving, right? But not just rewards in this life, rewards for eternity. What are we doing that will last for eternity? What are we doing to lay up treasure in heaven? And as we bring our offering, you know, I have our tithe is in the red envelope. That's just whatever God has blessed us with. We give 10% of that. And we have the Heart for the House Christmas year-end offering that we're doing through the month of December. We ask you, as you bring your seed, it's not just for the present. It's not just for the present that we give. Yes, we give when there's needs, but it's also giving for the future. It is an investment into the kingdom of God. It's an investment into laying up treasures in heaven in your life. So what a privilege it is to join together with other believers and give into the kingdom of God. Amen. So prepare yourself. Thank you for your generosity. Those who are watching online, you can go ahead and give. And we're going to pass the buckets down. And I hope you're ready to go out to the nativity. The kids have been enjoying it right through the service. We have some animals out there, and it was hard for me to drag myself back in, but it was the message was worth it, but it's going to be good. So go out there and see them after the service and encourage the young people that are taking their time to do this. Let's pray over the offering. Father, I thank you for every person, every family, every man, every woman represented here today, every child, teenager. Father, thank you for their faithfulness, their commitment in tithing and giving generously into your kingdom. I thank you that you see what we give. Jesus, just like you sat at that treasury and you watched what people gave, I thank you that you see what people give. I thank you that people are laying up treasures today, and I thank you for your overwhelming blessing upon each member today, Father, financially, every giver, every tither. Thank you that every need of this church is met in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You ready, dear? Muff?
Hey, guys, the band, you're supposed to be up here. The band, you're supposed to be up here. We're about to close, right? Take your position. Assume your position. Amen. Are you glad you came to church today? I said, are you glad you came to church today? Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Stand up with me. We're going to sing as we go this morning. We're going to leave the way we came. We're going to go singing, praising God. What is it? Tell me, I'll do it. Your light we find makes us come alive. A sacrifice of praise. There you go.
Here in your light we find what makes us come alive. A sacrifice of praise. A city on a hill, surrendered to your will. Your glory on display. Your glory on display.